This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm just going to ask, as people come in, if you know people that are coming in, just tell them to sit up as close as possible. We can still spread out, but it gets a little cavernous. This is a public discussion, so this is not an opportunity to bash or berate or anything. We're going to have a conversation, all right? You clear about that?
Yes.
This will be an opportunity for us to hear some of how we got here. Specifically, the reason I'm asking, just so in case you don't know who I am, my name is Leah Olson-Polk. I'm the Ellicott District Councilwoman and Majority Leader for the Buffalo Common Council. Thank you. I'm joined by my colleague Mitch Nowakowski. He represents the Fillmore District.
Yeah.
My guy, too. We're here to talk about some of the proposals that have been made for the temporary use of Braidmiller. Let's be clear about this. This is a temporary usage. What was presented, I'll talk a little bit about how we got to this point. I was not here when the city, when there was an approval for the city to allow this store to be open. I was not here when there was a loan agreement that was signed that allowed the city to give them $561,000 to stay open for 2 years. I was not here when an agreement was made that, you know, allowed for this extension in 2 years, but I am here now. And in the time that I was here, last year we were not, we learned December or so that they were going to be closing and that the loan committee is going to decide what's going to happen with that $561,000. So I just want to get that out of the way now as part of our conversation for right now. That $561,000 is before the loan committee. We thought they were going to have a decision that was going to be made on Thursday. They weren't. They will decide that by March the 6th. It's my understanding that that Bura is having their own financial director review the records of Mr. Green to determine whether or not my stance has not changed. I believe those resources should be returned. This would not be a discussion. Thank you. This would not be a discussion about using it for temporary purposes at all had the agreement been fully honored and that they've been open until December of 2025. But here we are. And so, what was presented to the council not long after they closed, and my colleague will be able to confirm it with me, is that a lease agreement for the Buffalo Police, specifically B District, to use this part of the space, not the entire space, as a temporary location while some work is being done in their headquarters where they're currently situated. There's some infrastructure problems. This is not new. This location, because it's open, they want to use part of it, not the entire space. As part of my discussion then, and this is all public, so if you want to go back to finance committee meetings, part of that discussion I asked the then commissioner, is it possible to use it for two purposes? Can we use it for anything else? If you're only going to use the back portion, can we use the front at least? Because this is definitely creating a serious issue of food insecurity. In our community, we're losing food, obviously, fresh food, dry food, just food for the neighbors that I represent, my colleague represents as well, access to it, even in the interim. And at the time, the comment was absolutely not, it could be used for dual purposes. Since then, I've met with real estate, with Bureau, and with a representative from the police department. And our conversations were a little bit different, that of course it can be used for dual purposes. The example would be E District, which if you know E District on Bailey Avenue, it is half community center, half police. And so, and the two don't necessarily touch each other, not necessarily. And so prior to getting to this point or agreeing to anything, I think it's only fair that we have a conversation about it to make sure that we are gonna just ask again if we can move up front, wanna make sure that we talk about a temporary usage. Are we okay with having food in that space? And that would be maybe using somebody like Feedmore or an organization like, and this is just for the sake of a conversation, like maybe Allison Dahomey, some opportunity for fresh fruits and vegetables so people have access to food and fruits and vegetables in the interim while we wait for something to be done. Let me be clear, this is not a city-owned property at all. We have no real say about what goes into this space at this point. The owner, Stuart Green, can't sell it. My hope is that it would be a grocer that buys it. Anything that goes in on a temporary basis would have to be approved by the bank that holds the mortgage on that right now. And so it's my understanding, and we do have some guests here that will also add to that, that they are already in agreement with, should the city council approve Buffalo Police using a portion of it, I believe in the conversations that I've had with the current acting administration, that if we do have a food source, they would be welcome to that idea as well. However, this is not a dictatorship, which is why it's important that we have an open dialogue that's fair and honest. So what I'm gonna ask is that when my guests come up, and I'll also invite my colleague up to speak as well, to bring some comments, we allow them to speak. Let's hear from them so they can at least talk to you a little about what they're thinking, and then we'll open it up for questions. When we get to our question and answer period, we'll keep some time on it. So if you have comments, we'll have about a minute per person. We have a timer set and everything. So you'll make your comment and you'll take your seat. We're gonna take notes of all of it. It's about hearing where we stand. I cannot talk about the long-term usage of it. We're talking about the interim. What we're doing for the 6 to 10 months that it'll take to get this, for B District to do whatever they need to, for the process to be done. I cannot say what the bank, Evans Bank, or whoever the new operator of Evans Bank is now. I think it's NCB I think it's a new bank name. What they're going to do with that loan, if they are foreclosing, it's my understanding that could be pre-foreclosure. I'm not sure of the details of that. That is between the owner, Stuart Green, and his bank. But anything that would go in, I really need this to be clear before we get into questions and comments. This is temporary usage. Are we good with using it temporarily? Where are our concerns? Can they answer those concerns? I believe that if we do food in the front portion of it, they would not be 5 days a week or 7 days a week. It would be certain days. I don't believe that there would be any reason for police to necessarily interact or be in that space at the same time. I cannot see any reasons for that at the moment, but that's something that I'd like to hear back from you all about. And I'm here to listen. I don't wanna take a lot of time and belabor it with my own personal comments. I'm sure my colleagues feel the same way about it. We're here specifically to hear from you, make a comment. If you are attributing your comment to somebody else, please just say that. So if it's the exact same thing, just say, oh, I agree with the last 20 people that said the same thing and this one other thing. If we can do that, can we agree to those ground rules? Great. That would be very helpful to keeping a productive meeting and so that we can start and end within an hour. I know it seems surprising that we can do it, but I know we can. So with that, I'd like to invite up my colleague, Council Member Mitch Nowakowski, representing the Fillmore District.
Thank you very much, Major Leader. I'm going to not be redundant. A lot of what the Major Leader said is also how we feel. So it's unique because Ellicott has one side, which is Braylers, and the Ellicott District, but I have the other side. And multiple things can be true at the same time. So, you know, as we see, the soon-to-be groundbreaking of Marine Drive, Perry Homes is going to be coming here. I really want to, I've been on this kick of trying to have downtown conversion of apartments, get people to live down in downtown Buffalo. And, you know, to be able to get people to live in downtown Buffalo, we have to have actual access to a brochure. Be counterintuitive while we do all these things around us to build apartment buildings and get people to live in the urban core, it's important that we have a brochure. And so, when I travel around the world or the country, I'm like, wait, they do this in other cities, why can't we have this here? City centers and urban cores have grocery stores.
Yep.
There's over 600 people that live adjacent to Braymill. 600 people, that's a new apartment building. The people that need, I have constituents that I don't want to call by names, I don't want to call them out, but they live across the street.
Right,
they live in Marine Drive. These are the people that I represent. So often at times where the Braymiller became like a subject of fodder, I just kept thinking about the people that literally live across the street. They use it for groceries. When we have that in mind, multiple things can be true at the same time. I think it's important what the majority leader said to re-emphasize is that this is something that's interim. This could be foreclosed on. We don't know what could happen with the building or with the structure. BPD is only asking to use it for the duration of 7 to 12 months. And then we have to think about the future of how to get a grocery in downtown Buffalo to be sustainable and to get people to live down here. Because to me, I believe a strong urban core is a strong city. To get people to live down here that's connected to public transit, that has access to things, is incredibly important. So I'm here to listen to my constituents here as well, and I'll be joining the jury leader. Thank you.
We're joined by Acting Director Yvonne Bailey from Real Estate. And Chief of the B District, Tommy Champion.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna they're gonna give a couple of remarks, kind of talk to you about where we are, how we got here, and then what the proposals are, and then we'll open it up for a few questions. Let me just also reiterate, listen, in the long term, I definitely want a grocery store. We'll talk about how we get to that point when we get to that point. In the meantime, and I'm hoping that the crux of this conversation, we understand where we are, what we need to do, and then we get some of the questions that you may have answered, we alleviate some fears if there are any, and we come to a solution. Now, in anything that we do, if we all leave a little bit unhappy, meaning we don't all get everything that we want, but we get a little bit of what we want, then we may have done the right thing. Government is about the art of compromising. So we're learning that I might not get everything I want, though some days I
really want what I want.
But if I can figure out what the middle ground is, this is where we are right now, figuring out where the middle ground is. Sorry, he needed his mic back. He's done with us. figuring out what the middle ground is where we are today. How do we get here? What do we need to do next? So this isn't a platform for us to do big time pontificating, but I do want to hear from you. Where are we? Let me be clear. When you do speak or ask questions, when we get to that portion, please say where you're from. Because those who live right here, those are the ones I need to hear from the most. We are here, like, I have 201 Ellicott with the others for yours, like right across the street and right next door. We do care about hearing from you directly because you're the most impacted by it. This is why we're here, exactly. So thank you. Without further ado, I think I'll open it up to Ms. Bailey to speak first. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Yvonne Bailey. As the majority leader said, I am the director of real estate for the City of Buffalo's Mayor's Office of Strategic Planning. We are here to discuss the lease between Bray Miller and Buffalo Police Department. And just a quick synopsis of the lease, we are looking to enter into it with Bray Miller and the Buffalo Police Department short term. And this lease is really going to provide Buffalo Police Department, specifically B District, with the ability to maintain the space on a short-term basis while B District undergoes much-needed repairs of the building. During that time, no financial compensation or benefit will go toward the owner of Bray Miller. The City of Buffalo and the Buffalo Police Department will pay for operational expenses as needed, required for the day-to-day operation of Buffalo Police business. In addition to that, Chief Champion is here to discuss more of the logistics and the more community benefit. I do want to also say that our mission here is to really ensure the safety and security of the community, in addition to a food source for the community, not only during the term of the lease, but after as well. And that's all.
All right. Thank you, Vaughn. Good afternoon, everybody. All right, a couple people that kind of lagged behind. Good afternoon. All right, I like to hear that. So when I see things like this and we get to take part in these things, it makes us, believe it or not, you know, a lot of people think that we're actually, you know, against public forums, but we love it, to be quite honest. I bring a notebook every time just because we like to take into account what the public feels before we make any plans, before we go forward. You know, there's an idea that policing is not a community-based thing, and it actually is, and it should be. And if it's done properly, community should be at the core of everything that we do. Everything from that first 911 call, when someone calls to the dispatcher and they say that something's going on horrible in their life or that there's an issue in their community, it's community-based. From the moment we respond and we try to resolve those issues, community-based. If it's something, a quality of life issue that the neighborhoods are having and they call out to a community police officer, which we have two sitting here today, community-based, right? And it's also usually, at least here in the City of Buffalo, our police officers consist of the men and women who are from the City of Buffalo. So I just want to cite that. But when we're talking about the space, you know, it's one of the, in my opinion, we've looked at several different spaces, and it's one of the best attributed to be able to handle our presence at this time period. The conditions over at B District, unfortunately, there are some significant repairs which need to be made at this time period to the district station house. And these repairs would necessitate for us to be able to shift our operations to another site. And obviously, shifting operations to another site could be a very expensive endeavor that obviously we would not want to burden taxpayers with something that's very heavy. And I think this would be probably one of the most prudent places to move it, considering the situation. I think that it's cost effective, it can handle our operations size-wise, and as the councilwoman said also, there's the opportunity of using the front space as well. In addition to that, you know, I'd like to point out that our community police officers, we have two community police officers per district, generally. In some of the districts, they also have a BMHA community police officer. So those community police officers would then be shifting over their services to that location and also able to extend on some of the services that we currently offer. A lot of people don't know exactly what a community police officer does or the extent of the community policing efforts and outreach efforts that we take in the City of Buffalo. You know, that includes everything from delivering food that's donated to our station to those who are in need, who we find in the district. We find people at the worst walks of life, at the worst times of their life. And every single time a police officer aids them, a police officer tries to provide support. So when you hear policing, oh, policing is going to move to the space, it's not just enforcement, it's also general service to the community. So that includes some of the food drives that we've done, some of the clothing drives that we've done. On Christmas and holidays like Thanksgiving, we're delivering food directly to people's homes. And on major situations, like rather it be 514 or rather it be some of the snowstorms that we've had, we were delivering food to people's homes because we realized that that location at that time period, with TOPS not being in operation, was a food desert. And we were also some of the people who set up the Resiliency Center at that time period. It was done by the police. So I think that when we hear some of the criticism about the police being set up at a location, I think that there's not an awareness of the amount of service you're getting in addition to law enforcement and the justice portions. There's also overall community service. But when we talk about crime prevention and police presence, we have to be aware that, you know, this is one of the most, you know, needy areas in the city of Buffalo. When I say needy, I say it's needy because the amount of volume that we get here in B District. B District is very unique when it comes to districts. And I say that because we've got, in one building, like for example, the arena, we've got an arena which can hold 25,000 people, in addition to other buildings like Shays, like the different theaters, Iris Classical Theater, you've got Chippewa, you've got Main Street, you've got Allen Street, all of these places, Elmwood, all these places, Canal Side, all these things are in one district, all these mass populated areas where you get an influx of the most people that you'll see in the city of Buffalo at one time. So you can imagine the challenge it is sometimes providing safety and addressing the calls for service there. But our men and women do it dedicated, in a dedicated fashion, and they do it effortlessly almost. I wish I could say it was effortless, but it looks effortless at times. But it, no, there's no mistaking it's sometimes a challenge, but we meet that challenge every single day. I think having a location that's centrally located where there's tons of businesses, where there's been pronounced need as far as calls, and putting us in a location where we have buildings like the Erie County Library here and some of the other business communities like Main and Court Street, some of the government buildings, it strategically puts us in an area where we can help out the most citizens in the area and also spread our presence and give a little bit back to the community as well.
So just for the sake of our conversation, let me just let you know where we are with, can you hear me? Okay. The lease agreement. So the lease agreement was brought to the council and we tabled it because I had some serious concerns about just using it for police alone. Initially, I was told, it, like I said before, that it could not be used for dual purposes. We've since found out we could. But we've since found out that people would be willing to at least try it for multiple reasons. And so before I will let it move forward and out of that committee, this conversation is necessary. So at this point, there is obviously a need to deal with food insecurity. There's obviously a need. I do get several calls, I don't know about your office, but I have from 201 Ellicott, there were some issues with some public safety issues. I've met Lieutenant Council about their concerns over there over time, and that's important to know. But what does that look like by moving them over to this location? This is part of this conversation. So with that, for the next 20 or so minutes, I want to open it up. We have two microphones. I want to do this in a respectful manner. So we'll go from one to the other. You ask your question or make your statement. And then if you wouldn't mind having a seat and letting the next person go, that would be great. Please, when you come up, give us your name. And can you just at least give us the area of the city that you live in? Like if you live next door, say that so we know who you are and that you live there. If you do not, then give your gender. If you say out of the village, and that's okay. I just want to hear it.
Do you stand in line or do we raise our hands?
If you stand in line, that's fine.
Okay.
As long as you do it then, you get about a minute each. This isn't the time to pontificate or give your campaign speech.
Hi. I'm Angela Keppel. I live right across the street at the Lafayette. One of my questions would be, what does the food distribution mean? Would it be food being given away to people who have that need? Because as a downtown resident, I think many of us who live in downtown, like, we can afford to buy food. We'd like to be able to buy food. Maybe we couldn't afford what Gray Miller was selling sometimes. But so that would be my concern, like, would it be accessible to everyone that lives downtown, or would it just be for people living in poverty?
No, it would be, my thought process would be it would be open to anybody who needed it.
Okay.
And so the option would be one of two things. So when I think of somebody who's currently providing, and I keep using her name, I can't think of the name of her business right now.
Buffalo Green.
Thank you. She actually does take payment. Okay. So it's not just free. It's also those who could, because there's infrastructure in place. It would be a matter of both, maybe not on the same day. But there are some people who just need access to it quickly, and it's just for the 6 to 12 months. Is that correct for the lease time?
Correct.
And then I just want to ask a rhetorical question that maybe we should think about. I know none of you were there at the time, but the B District building is less than 20 years old. Why is it already failing?
Well, the storms itself.
Well, we didn't build it, so.
Other buildings are hundreds of years old.
Thank you.
Hello, I am Haley. My name's Haley. I live near the Hemwood Village, New Bryant. And I also work at the Buffalo Area Council's Library in Sarah Gillen. I have the same concerns that the previous person has as well. But I also have to ask a few quick questions. Not to downplay the decision to have the building slope to do different things, but like what will, because the building's already set up to be like primarily used for a grocery store, how much time and effort and money is it going to revolve to actually have the police actually move into part of the building? And then the second question is, if the goal is to provide food service to the building, which I think is what we should aim for during this temporary time, are we also going to utilize not just the freezers and the shelving, but also like the area that will be sort of deli in, like where they cook stuff, where they make sandwiches, all that stuff? Are we going to use that to also help the community as well?
Do you want to take that?
Thank you. So, do you want to answer some of that?
Yeah, very, very valid and great questions. So I don't think at this point we are actually doing the research to determine what it is that we can bring in from the different resources and the different vendors that we have. And those are valid questions, and those are things that we're taking to them to say, what can you provide to us? As far as the space utilization, we have done extensive research, several walkthroughs to acknowledge that just the back portion, which is more of a warehouse portion, is the portion that BPD, Buffalo Police Department, will utilize. So the entire front space, we are looking, as Majority Leader has requested, and we definitely want to accommodate for food source. So that entire space we are looking to make available for a food source. And what we're doing now is we're looking at individuals or entities that can come in and provide exactly what you're saying. So we're looking to kind of evaluate them and find out the best options for that.
Thank you. Just one quick question. Mm-hmm. So is it going to be when the police department is in the back portion of the building, is the idea that it's going to be, they're going to close down the other place for renovations and then use this as a temporary center until the new building is open? Okay, I wasn't sure about that.
Yes.
That, because like if it's like, I wasn't sure was that, or they're like splitting up, will some people be in the old building?
The ask that came before council was for them to use this space while their current house is being renovated. And from what was shared with me and my colleague was that by the previous commissioner was that it would be just for a short period of time, and real estate can confirm it's 6 to 12 months.
Correct.
Just to fix the infrastructure issues that have been existing for some time. Is there another option that they do have? There is. It does provide some additional struggles. This one is probably better suited for them. Either way, it's still in the Ellicott District, so I'm still going to ask the same questions.
And unfortunately, the construction that needs to happen at the station house, it's not to the point where we could probably stay at that building feasibly, you know, while that construction is going on without health risk to the officers and the workers who are inside.
I'm sorry, we've got a whole line. If you could come back.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm
Sharon Barola.
I reside at Marine Drive Apartments, and I love the fact that we're not here because of that. We do need food source, but we really need a reasonable food source that they offer, and I like the idea of the police being temporarily in that building in the back park for a twofold. You've had, and you know more than I do, how many calls you've had just right there, and you know more than I do how many calls you've had throughout the downtown area, and we need the presence of both. And the food source in particular, with the low income that is here, myself included, that retired, lower income, that you need to be able to have your dollar stretched to getting fresh foods, and it being appropriate. And the Feed More being there as well, because they do help the community a lot. So that really is an excellent idea, and I support it 100%. And I thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to be clear, we don't know who the vendors will be, ultimately.
No, exactly. Right.
But whoever it is, we want to make sure that it's accessible for everybody.
And they have to be clean.
Thank you.
Right. Yes, they do need to be clean.
Yeah. My name is John Walsh, I'm a Niagara District President. I have a question about short-term. And I understand from having seen a number of public short-term projects over the years, about a 6 to 12 month duration of construction, and about the lease that is described as being cost-free to the city, I can't imagine the current owner letting this property go into somebody's hands without some form of compensation. And I'm curious about how he's going to be compensated for the use of this property.
Can I take that? I want to take that.
I want to take that. I would like you to take the real
estate. I'll take that. John?
Yes.
Very, very good question. I can't speak for the owner and what his financial situation and what's going on with him is. What I can say is during the term of how that's being evaluated between him and his bank and the mortgage and the foreclosure, that's their thing. But during this term, the building is sitting vacant, and we have provided some assistance in the past for this particular owner, and we've come to him with this ask, and all he has asked from us is for us to take on the expenses of what the day-to-day operations for the Buffalo Police Department will be. We have, the lease is public record, you can read it. We have no intentions, we will not compensate him or any portion of the building for any portion of us utilizing the building. So I hope I'm answering your question.
Are you suggesting he's giving it away?
I will not say he's giving it away. I will not say that at all. I can't say that.
No idea how he's being compensated? No, I do.
The lease agreement says $1.
The lease agreement is $1. The city of Buffalo will retain the space short term for $1 per month. Our obligations are to pay for the day-to-day operations of the police department only. And that's it. And what I will also say to you is, Majority Leader and our council member is here, anything that we decide to spend as far as the city of Buffalo goes, we have to go to these wonderful people and ask for permission. And they're not gonna let it happen. So she just said it. So no, we will not be compensating this owner any more than the $1 per month and the day-to-day operations needed for the Buffalo Police Department only.
Hi, my name is Michael Gaynor. First of all, Chief, I want to thank you for being here today. I don't think there's any doubt that this building can serve an immediate need for the community and council member. He's also my council member. Your creativity for trying to address some of the concerns that the neighbors have brought up, the residents in that local area, as it pertains to trying to address in the short term a need for food. I guess my concern and my question relates to process. We often have been in a situation here in Buffalo where we have to convene after the fact. after decisions have been made, after decisions and leases have already been rolled out, and we are having to grapple with trying to come together and solve a problem and fix, you know, something that was already decided. The City of Buffalo made a dramatic commitment to Bray Miller Market. They made an investment in COVID relief dollars. They made an investment of time and energy, okay, over the years, and it has delivered a valuable service to this community, okay? Why was this community not engaged as soon as Stewart announced that the store was going bankrupt and closing up? Why was there not a community meeting then to say, what are the needs of this community now? If I want to open a store or a business in my community, I have to go before the planning board, I have to go before the city council, and I need to get approval for what I'm going to use that space for before the fact. I think that we should have had the same respect for those residents and for those community members to engage folks before we've signed the lease.
So we haven't signed a lease yet, but thank you, your minute is up. However.
Initially, okay. The second, but can I just say the second question was, I think as a community, we owe it to this downtown community to make a commitment for a short-term commitment to providing food access. Not just a farmer's market, 1 or 2 days, but to actually look at vacant spaces that are available and RFP for a potential food space or store or co-op.
Couldn't agree more. It's important to, thank you so much. I want to make sure we're clear about this. Nothing has been signed. You can draft as many leases as you want to. It still has to come to us for a final okay.
Right.
So when you present something, and this is why committees are open to the public, this is nothing that's hidden from anybody. The statement is, no, we're going to table this until you come back with a better use of this. Let's talk about what we can do or cannot do. And until you do, we're not presenting something. This is a privately owned space. He does own it. He could use it for something totally different that does not have a benefit to us at all at this point. And it's really important that we also note that. I don't agree with it, but I want to make sure that we're clear on that for the sake of our conversation. But no lease agreement has been made. And I don't care what acting people in this stage play are saying. There is nothing that has been set in stone. This is why we are talking today. Are we good on that? Okay, yes.
Okay, my name is Nathan Feist. I live next to this library between 2022 and 2023. I now live in Weston Park. I'm concerned that this proposed $1 a month lease will unduly influence the board members of Bureau, the Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency, to approve forgiveness of the $561,000 loan, because they answer to the mayor, and the mayor has been pushing this police use of the facility.
Yeah.
And the board members are fiduciaries for economic development, not the police. And the council members also are fiduciaries of the city, and the council approved that loan for a market, not the police.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned that the true cost of this lease is the loan. And I believe the committee and the board need to forgive the loan, because the market clearly defaulted on the loan by failing to remain open for 2 years. That was a required term of forgiveness. And I would also like to know, has the administration considered the animal shelter as a potential location? That shelter is closing down. It already has a gated parking lot. It's already owned by the city.
It's debilitated.
So, all right, let me that's what interesting about. Let me just make sure I understood you clear. Are you saying that they should forgive the loan?
No.
Oh, okay, because I've definitely heard
you say that too.
I just, don't say that. That didn't sound like Nathan that I've read about so much. Okay, I just want to be clear. Okay. All right, thank you so much. I don't know if they thought about the animal shelter. I do know we don't have a lease agreement for the new location yet, which is why nothing can happen with that. They can't even get money from the state on a new space for the animal shelter at this moment. That's not
enough. Yeah, I'll also say, for anybody who doesn't know, animal shelter is like 400 feet away from the current parking lot of B District. So it seems like a really obvious choice. Here, we need food access, right? Like, there are organizations that provide food, clothing, and other necessities on Ellicott Street underneath this library every week, multiple times a week, and they're extremely popular. unlike Brain Builder, which obviously had a failed business plan because they have these like high-end items and the low-income people who live next door can't afford to shop there. People who can afford to shop are driving to Wegmans. So I think that your proposed use by Feedmore is a great idea, and invite the other organizations that already provide those services at the library to use that space too. Like, we have the police headquarters 5 minute walk from here. Like,
so I don't disagree with you on that. Let me just, before you both answer, there's a couple of things to take note of. The first question that was asked when it was brought up is, can they go to the headquarters? They said there wasn't enough space. I was told they can. I'm just telling you what was said, okay? I'm just gonna put out there the question that was asked publicly and what was answered publicly that you can go back and do your own research on. I personally think it was possible, but I was told there was not enough space in police headquarters for people to be there. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what was said. The concerns about temporary space, I do understand this is just as a stopgap. This isn't a sustainable solution. Let's be clear about that. I do know at my direction, we did ask we asked Bureau specifically to start talking to grocers. And so some grocers have met with them. Some of them have already invested in their current businesses and they have no interest in going there, but there are some other grocers that are interested. My hope is that we get a buyer that sees this space for what it is and we can move in. My concern would be is if we sign this lease, and this is where our acting director for real estate would have to comment about this, would the current lease agreement, if executed, would that prevent them from moving into that location in a timely fashion? How long would it allow for this dual usage to be in place before a grocer could actually move in?
So it's a great question. I always say great question. Very great question. So Nathan, number one, I just want to absolutely. Let me get it to you. So number one, the animal shelter, I absolutely acknowledge it. We are in an active negotiations on that lease. So when you say, why can't BPD move in there? This is an immediate need. And if we even if we did negotiate that lease and we approved it, we still have to look at the logistics of moving everything from the animal shelter into the new location and then getting BPD in. We are looking to try to remediate the issues with BPD right now. And right now, if we were to, and hopefully, we do get a new grocer that actively pursues us and this owner and says, I want to be here. There's still some logistics in there. There's still a closing period. There's a negotiation period. There are timing places, but during the timing that it's sitting there vacant, we, City of Buffalo, Buffalo Police Department, can utilize the space. It's sitting blank. It's vacant, we can use it right now. Yeah, if you're saying to me, let's get them in the animal shelter location, possible, great idea, but that's 6 to 9 months down the road when right now it's vacant and we can get this done now, right? So that's number one. And to the second question Majority Leader raised of, if we had a grocer come in while BPD was in the space, our lease, BPD came to me and they said, we need 6 months. We got phase one, that's 3 months. Phase two, that's 3 months. As a real estate agent, as a real estate broker, a commercial broker, I said, construction, let's give it 12 months. It is not saying that we intend on being there for 12 months. If perfect world, but do we live in a perfect world, respectfully?
I'll add that the animal shelter is an immediate need too.
Absolutely, and we are working that through.
If that was considered the way that you walk through Gray Miller, you should walk through the animal shelter. You should walk through the post office.
All right, but I want to, Nathan, I do want to keep this to this topic. I understand that, and that's valuable, but I want to keep it to Bray Miller specifically. Bray Miller is, the animal shelter is not available at the moment for this option today.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that and I did take note of it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I think it's very relevant because of that pressure I described.
Yeah.
And the post office is currently.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
And I'd also like to point out one thing before we move on to the next person. When we're talking about police usage, again, you're talking about temporary police usage. This is not the long-term plan for the actual building. It's temporary while that work is being done to the station house. And the reason that headquarters can't be used is you're talking about over 100 employees. There's not room for over 100 employees, nor all of the vehicles and equipment to add to headquarters right now, in addition to all of the employees who are currently there. It would also cause logistical issues, such as where would our vehicles go? There's already challenges with parking in the area generally, so think about where those police vehicles would go around the headquarters building.
I didn't bring up headquarters, but I don't know how much room is at headquarters.
But you said headquarters was 5 minutes down the street. Right, but you said headquarters is 5 minutes down the street. I'm just saying why we can't use that headquarters building.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both.
But again, not a long-term answer.
Thank you so much.
Hi, guys. My name is Patricia. I'm a tenant at 201 Ellicott. Mitch, Leah, Tommy, Yvonne, thank you so much for holding this meeting. Sure. Basically, I'm speaking on behalf of myself and the tenants of 201 Ellicott, which is right directly next door to Bray Miller and built as the same project. I also work as a career with underserved populations in Buffalo as a mental health and addictions counselor. At 201 Ellicott, there's a resounding and unanimous concern for the future of the Bray Miller building. And when we signed our leases, we were assured that there would be a food store, a grocery store, next door. This building was developed for low-income and disabled health tenants, 201 Ellicott. Many of us have mobility issues, and we rely on walking or public transportation. We are people most affected, we are the people most affected by what happens with this building. Downtown Buffalo is a food desert, as you mentioned. Yesterday, I took a bus to Wegmans, bought overpriced groceries for a week, and had to take a $24 Uber home. Because I have two herniated discs, and I can't carry more than 10 pounds. I can't carry it back to the bus. I need to be able to go next door, especially for heavy items, milk. This is a milk, eggs, and bread problem. There is a proposed food distribution center in the Bray Miller space. What does that mean exactly? Who's it for? When is it happening? What is it? We know nothing about it. When we talk about immediacy here, we need something immediate. This is a problem that is happening now. Gallons of milk back to our apartment across the street. This development is supposed to serve the community. How is the police station possibly an asset? I know it may be a need, but personally I'm afraid that added police presence in the area will increase tension among the tenants of 201 Ellicott and also the homeless population, especially around the library. Living conditions for us way worse, and police presence may only exacerbate our problems.
How? Please tell me how.
From speaking to other tenants, the general feeling is that police presence would be an encroachment.
Okay, let's let her speak.
An encroachment on our community.
You can speak.
We're concerned that the space was developed to meet our basic needs for food and sustenance may instead be just used to criminalize homelessness. If the police do move in, when will they be leaving? Is there a guarantee? Is there a guarantee timeline and some amount of accountability? This should be a reasonable demand for us as residents of 201 Ellicott. I want to reiterate, as a resident of 201 Ellicott, that this is a basic needs issue. This is an eggs, milk, and bread problem. This is about the community values that we all share and what it feels like to live downtown in the city of Buffalo. Thank you.
Thank you.
Del Mar, speed.
That's okay.
commit to a one-element building. I understand the need to move the police into a building while their old building is being refurbished. But I also know that it's going to take a while to get a supermarket in there. And I think that by putting the police in there for 8 months, it's only going to push off us getting a supermarket 15 to 18 months. The gentleman said something that, you know, Mayor Scanlon is... Acting Mayor Scanlon is behind for getting the loan, and Seth is, Mr. Green is going to rent us the space, rent the Buffalo Police Department space for a dollar. I'm afraid that the real thing is he's renting the space to forgive the loan that he, I feel, and most of the people in our building that he bamboozled. I was sitting at a meeting at the council, and I told him, I mean, I had to see, I told you so, I told him. And I saw that the council wasn't really behind giving him the loan. Some of you up there weren't behind giving him the loan.
I wasn't up here, but I wasn't for it.
Okay? And, you know, I just think that we really need a supermarket, and that should be what we're looking into. The Buffalo Police Department does have other places, like you said, maybe not that place that we just discussed, the dog pound. But they have other places they could go. I just don't feel like looking out for people. You know? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a
concerned citizen, and I still feel that if we did put out over $500,000, it should be a way to recover it. It's nice if we do a dollar a month or whatever, but we need to say, that can't just be written off.
That's right.
We not only need food down at the market, but I have come to the library and I have seen vans come up to help feed the homeless. I've seen them camped out outside the library.
Yeah.
What we might want to think about is, besides putting food, maybe have some health counselors in that building to talk to people, to see if they can keep them at least positive or something like that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Archie Brooks. I live like across the street here, next door to Gray Miller. And I have seen the development of Gray Miller before they actually opened their door. I'm living next door right this moment. And what I am concerned about is this city and the council members under the past administration and hopefully not the present. I appreciate Nowakowski and Leah Holton, you know, taking on these issues. And I've seen your remarks in the news and where you stand. And I stand with you at this point, because we all got to get elected and they've got to be voters again. What I'm concerned about is not just a grocery store for the people downtown in this here food desert. We have individuals that came up here, and some of the members right now are handicapped, okay? And they have medications. We need a grocery store and a pharmacy. Lexington Co-op on Elmwood got no problems, you know? They thriving good, and they keeping the taxpayer dollars within the city. If you take the property that you own, that you also own before Gray Miller, you do the research and stuff, the city sold that to the developers, and boom, there you go. You got 201 Ellicott, you got Gray Miller. But Gray Miller told me to my face, and I don't care who in here know him and love him, he said he didn't even want to come here. You guys forced him. He didn't want to be here. Okay, that's out of his mind. What we need is a grocery store and a pharmacy, and the city owns property right now. You need to put this proposal on your plan. If you can put this on your planning board, you got property right in back of 201 Ellicott. That's another parking lot that you use to develop and bring people to give an infusion to downtown defunct Main Place Mall and business area. Investors don't want to come to a desert. If you want to keep money here and more taxpayer dollars here, give us a complete grocery store, give us a pharmacy, and put it right in back of Bray Miller. There's property that you own that you can develop. Don't worry about all the financial intricacies and complications that you already know about. We can get more. We can get more. We can get our
own. We gotta worry about the money. We don't have it.
Okay, now, my question is, can you take some property, talk to the planning board, whatever steps you gotta take politically, and build us a grocery store and a pharmacy? You'll get more money.
Thank you.
Taxpayer dollar. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love the idea of a pharmacy. That's a great idea, too.
My name is Amy Wells, and I'm a resident of the Mason District, and I just have an opinion about most things in Buffalo. thank you, Majority Leader, for having this forum. And with all due respect, Chief Champion, I respect everything that you do for the community, but it's not the job of police to be social workers. We have nonprofit organizations and social workers, and you know, the schools are now doing food distribution, and we don't need the police to also do that as well, right? So like, my concern is that we are expecting you, and my concern has always been is that we are expecting the police to take on too many roles. So when we are putting police stations in collaboration with food distribution, we are again blurring the lines between what is policing and what is community service. And there are a lot of people who are in need of food who don't necessarily want to interact with police when they are just in need of food. So like, that's the first thing. The second thing is simply that, man, I have so many things to say. I'm completely blanking on it. It's a bad idea to do this, and I think I'm gonna just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. We don't need police and food in the same place. Oh no, this is about The major thing I want to say, and I'm still here the whole time, is that I have an invitation. Because I've been working with people for the last like 2 years on this food access thing. So what I want to do is give an invitation for you, Majority Leader, and you, Council Member, this whole food access thing on March 27th. We're having a New York Food Ways gathering at Hayes Hall that you need for y'all to come. And we can have another use for Gray Miller that's a community center, because there's municipal grocery stores popping up all over the country where we can have a community-owned grocery store that centers the community, where we can have wonderful owners and have, and you know, I have your email address, so I'm gonna make sure I send y'all an invitation.
I love it. I love that idea. Remember, this is a privately owned space. So
we're gonna invite them too.
This is a privately owned space. They can make a decision about what they're like. The bank has to decide what they will allow in that space.
We don't need the bank saying we know all of
that. That's all I need to know. I'm good with it.
But
just,
you know, political power and bully pulpits mean something.
I don't disagree.
So we'll
be here on the 27th. I'm happy to come. Thank you.
March 22nd.
Got it. 22nd or 7th?
2-2.
Got it.
3-2-2.
Got it.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Majority Leader, for hosting this forum. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to your constituents. That's the job, right?
Kind of. Yeah,
right.
I think so.
So I really want to appreciate you and show you appreciate for that, for listening to your constituents. One thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, if this is not a fact, as of right now, since we don't have River anymore, is Thompson Jefferson the only grocery store that we have in the Ellicott District?
In the Ellicott District?
Yes.
We also have Thompson's Food Mark on Glenwood, but like the actual largest, I would say, is First Bite North or one? That's it. This is it. And I said this when they closed.
Yeah, so thinking about that, happy Black History Month, everyone. Jefferson, if you know the Black History Pocket, right? we do not deserve to be re-traumatized every time we enter a grocery store. So that's one of the main points I want to make. Something else. So we need our money back. Right? $561,000
is... I'm the choir. You don't even have to preach this.
Oh, I know. I want the people in this room to know that. We need it back. Right? It should be reinvested into another food access for the city of Buffalo.
Yes.
That's what we think, right? And the point that was made about the space and the immediacy of police, similar to how the immediacy need is there for the police, the immediacy need is there for food. So that should be first and foremost, because that's what this place was prioritized for. That's why the city gave them $561,000 of our money, because of that. So I really would like that to be in the forefront of our minds. I understand that the police has a need. There's many empty lots and empty buildings in downtown Buffalo. Think about it and get some more options. And then the last thing I'll bring up is, again, with the visibility of police in this space, we have to think about things that are going on federally. Immigration is being, like, immigrants are being attacked. So if immigrants live downtown and they want to go to that grocery store, they might not. Because in some states, the police is working in tandem with ICE. I don't know if that's the case for Buffalo, and I don't want to bring that in this space, but we have to think about the residents that live in this city and that won't be shielded in this city. The last thing I'll say is to the acting mayor. You don't get to call the shots.
He's not here,
but he's going to hear about it. You can deliver the message, my love. So this is not a dictatorship. You ask your constituents what they want. You don't make that decision, period. That's why I thank you, Liberty Leader, for hosting this space, because if you didn't know, Thursday, acting mayor posted a statement saying that this space will be used for both police and food access. Who said that?
All right.
No.
Yeah, right. You don't get to make those shots, big boy.
Thank you. So let me say this. If you've already spoken before, thank you so much. Because we're coming to the end, so I'm going to let the ends of both of these lines be the end of our talk for today, because we're coming close to the end, if we can. Thank you. All right, whoa.
You're in.
I already said it, then they got it, but it's fine. But that will be the end of it. There is no more after that. Thank you so much, because I just want to be respectful and keep my word about time. Thank you. Yes.
Good afternoon. I'm Stephanie Perry. I live on the west side near Peace Bridge, and I also work downtown 5 days a week. I want to emphasize and I guess back up here this gentleman's view that we need a pharmacy or a store. Like, we don't have a place to buy cough drops, tampons, ibuprofen. You are like, I mean, I'm a 50-hour a week like resident, right? I'm not a full-time resident. I don't buy my groceries here. But it's an embarrassment that our downtown doesn't have a place to buy basic goods. Like, we have a hotel next to Bray Miller, and like, if you need a tampon, where are you gonna get it? Now you're in a gas station, it's embarrassing. You're hungover after your bills came, you're at work anyways. You need you can't get it, you know? I'm sorry, I used to stand up, so I think it's coming out. But initially, I wanna just say I'm really concerned about taking a place that's set up as a grocery store, making it into a police space, and then bringing it back to a grocery store. It's not a very sensible use of resources, and I'm concerned about the momentum and the inertia and the way that the police department in general consumes resources and spaces. It's already set up to be a grocery store. Like, let's keep it as a grocery store. Let's add a pharmacy. Let's add tampons. Let's not have it be like
I'm going to.
Okay.
I guess one final thought, you know, as someone who spends a lot of time down here walking, driving, jogging, I encounter police vehicles driving recklessly frequently, especially on the streets that are fast, and it's scary, and I've had some near misses, and a lot of people do, and because of qualified immunity and because of insurance issues, people do not have accountability for those situations. So I think we always want to be mindful of the presence of police vehicles around police buildings.
Thank you.
So I've heard a couple of good comments and things, and I just want to just say a couple things. I'll make it really quick. Just a couple things in response to 201 Ellicott initially as well. 201 Ellicott, we're there pretty frequently. They are one of the biggest receivers of our services within our district, and our community police officers go there very frequently. I know our tenant council is very familiar with our community police officers because they help them with a number of needs on a daily basis. There's that. And that's statistically, they're one of the highest producers of our calls here in this district. So we are very present there currently. Also, I'd like to point out that this is use until a long-term partner is found. This is not long-term usage, this is temporary usage, so the space is actually utilized and the utilization is maximized during the time period until you have a final partner. You don't want to rush and just throw anything in there, you want to find the right partner. And so if we have that space vacant, we might as well use that space for something that the City of Buffalo needs right now, as opposed to spending extra money that you don't need on something else that we currently may not have available. And as far as the police vehicles, you can always call us and let us know if there's a car driving recklessly. But I do know, obviously, our cars do speed. We have to speed to get to emergency calls. I'm sure if it was your loved one, you want us there right immediately at that moment dealing with an emergency. Yvonne, you have a question?
I also just wanted to add in the, again, short-term need. It is written into the lease that we are actively allowing anyone that is interested in the building to walk through. So we are accommodating anyone that has an interest and the ability to provide any type of resource or to purchase that building to walk through. So during the time that the police department is there, it's not just a shield up, you can't come in if you have the means and ability to purchase the building. We're certainly allowing, and I don't even want to say allowing, I mean, in the lease, the owner is allowed to come in and walk through prospective buyers, and hopefully one of them is a grocery store.
I'm sorry. Excuse me? Can we? Your neighbor who said you didn't talk today. Can you?
Yes, my name is Yvette. I live at 201.
I'm sorry.
My first concern is the tenants and how we're being treated. Our needs are ignored both by our manager and by the city. Just like our manager is there for her company and not to serve us, it looks like the city is planning to make decisions for their own purposes instead of our needs. As a tenant deserves respect from all of us, we have been underserved this whole time in a $76 million building that was built to serve us, including grocery store next door. There is nowhere to park. These cars are being ticketed and booted. As a tenant of 201 Ellicott, we will be the ones most impacted by this decision. We deserve the right to have a meaningful say in what happens in the Brady Mills building. Until our voices are heard, the whole building will be immediately halted. Thank you. Woo! Woo!
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Hi. Oh.
Grocery store for moved in, and this is what we want, not a police station.
not an approved disposition, and it's asked to please respect the rights and the needs of the citizens who are
what's nice about the majority leader is finding out that at City Hall we had an open forum about Bay Miller last year, but this is nice about coming out that everybody's here. Thank you guys for coming out. My name is Keisha Johnson. I live at 201 Elkhart. I have also ran the Commission of Housing as a housing leader in active in the city with Push and Brick House. Now, I have a problem with where I got to go now to buy food, because Bay Miller was my favorite spot. I don't know about any of you. But it was accessible, you know, and a lot of people came around to that store, even the homeless. But whatever you do, don't turn it into a police issue. We don't need any more. Like India said, the police have many hats. They don't need to be involved in the police station right next to us. It's sad that they City Hall have these contracts that they can help out with, turn it into more. Or like in the homeless restoration, because the homeless people can't talk to people and communicate, some of them have special needs. And they need a food access resource, and now that's gone. And some of them have trucks that bring food, like the Harvest City, but we could turn that to restoration building maybe, if you're not gonna reopen Bray Miller. But do something that makes it more accessible for people that gotta go miles down on Jefferson or Niagara Street to Family Dollar, and have to carry back the food back, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to do fan shows down there, produce down there at the Apollo. That's right across the street from your, we give it here on Elkhart. That's a ways away, you know? And like some people say, they can't lift more than 10 pounds. Luckily, we have to lift more than 10 pounds. But there's people out there who aren't blessed as we all are to be able to travel and have accessibility, especially our senior citizens that are over 60 or 62. They have to have proper accessibility to get their food and travel right next door to them. And they don't have that now. So we want to empower people here to be able to have food, accessible food access to get back and forth, where it's applicable and people have maybe shuttles or maybe something to transport those people who really need it. Because sometimes it's miles away. And if Great Bay Miller is not going to be opened again, then that's a problem for some people, you know? And our majority leaders should help out. Maybe the acting mayor, Stanley, to write the grant or something to help out, you know what I'm saying? That cordial that works among city people here that don't have buses and don't have proper communication or transportation to get around.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Taylor. I am the founder of Taylor's Harvest. I come down here every Sunday. I live in like just the regular Genesee Bailey area. But I come down here every Sunday and I feed the homeless. Being no matter every Sunday, blizzard, cold blue, we are outside. And so feeding about 100 to 200 homeless people every Sunday. The thing is with the Bray Miller, with having the police there for however long, whether short term, that you have written down for like the 6 to 10 months, I really don't feel like that's a good need. I really feel like the police is not really helpful with the homeless. I work with the homeless, they have my direct line, my phone number, and I feel like this really puts fear in their hearts. You know, they come to me like Pastor Taylor, you know, we're a city that's supposed to be helping neighbors, right? City of really trying to help each other out, and I really feel like having the police there is not really the best fit, and it's just not, you know, the best fit, especially with the homeless there, supposed to really uplift each other. No matter if you're a police officer, we're still humans, we're still people, and I really feel like that space is not it. I have contacted council and everything, no response, so I just just don't think that would be a good idea.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you all for this venue to speak. My name is Lindsay Petro. I'm a resident of the Elkhart District. And I just wanted to echo some of the concerns that I heard, mostly about the nature of this proposed lease and what that means for the payback of the loan from Bray Miller. I think that is very suggestive of some approaches to politics that I don't think are conducive to democracy. And I also wanted to echo concerns about the loss of food access in this community. It is a real need, you know. bring the tampons into this neighborhood, bring the toothpaste, the ibuprofen, as my neighbor shared. I think that that is really important. And I think, I don't know that this is the best fit. I think also echoing concerns of the fact that bringing the police into this space, even temporarily, does push out the vision of bringing a supermarket back into this space, even further down the line. And I just don't think that's a sacrifice that the folks here can or should make. Thank you.
Opening this conversation, I'm grateful to be in a public space where we can have this conversation today. I have to voice my concern about this whole issue with this loan with Greg Miller, because I think that we forget that he has a business somewhere else. This was not his only business venture. And many of us, including myself, had said many times in Common Council that this was a bad business plan. Even when he came back and asked for the money, it was a bad business plan. But here we are. And so how do you forgive more than half a million dollar loan for somebody that has a successful business in another area?
That's right.
I couldn't do it. I don't know anybody else who's an everyday person who could do that, who could ask to be forgiven for that kind of money when they have, I hear rave reviews about this store that he has in another area of the southern tier. I don't think that's appropriate. This $1 fee that we keep talking about that bounces back and forth irritates me, because first of all, I know what it is when the $1 fee is put down on paperwork. I got a lot maybe. Oh yeah, on the paper it says $1. But that's not what it cost me. The reality of what it cost me was a very different number. I also have concerns about the inflation, consistent inflation to the police department budget. In the city of Buffalo, and it just keeps swelling and swelling and swelling, and we don't seem to have any consistent care for what's going on in other areas. You know, what happened to our emergency needs? We're in a city right now where we don't have any extra money. We dedicated 9 emergency hubs, shelters, and we haven't been able to do anything beyond that. And we have there doesn't seem to be any plan at all for how we are going to dig in and make some concessions to add to the emergency needs in this city when we see how the weather is consistently advancing. And that is a very big concern for me. I mean, whatever it is that you put, wherever you put it, let's be realistic. We have a lot of open spaces, a lot of failed businesses right here in downtown Buffalo where a lot of things could be put, right? So why Gray Miller? But aside from that, you know, I really have a lot of concerns about how we just keep dropping this conversation as if it's not that important. When we get hit with that next storm, how many more people are we going to be allowing ourselves to lose because we didn't plan appropriately? It's not so.
Thank you so much, Eva.
Hello, my name is Chris Weiner. I live at 201 Ellicott. I'm originally from Kenmore, New York, a suburb, and I just can't believe the way you people do business. This is an embarrassment. I have always come downtown, and I see people who are visitors. They ask, what's there to do here? Where can I shop?
Yeah.
Where can I buy this? I'm embarrassed for our sake.
It's embarrassing. It is.
And in fact, in 15, I think you're very ill-prepared. I want to know, how is it Stuart Green, he's not Gray Miller, you say, oh, Bray Miller, I know you're from Southern Tier. Well, I'm not Bray Miller, I'm Stuart Green. How did he get control? How did he get the NFTA's property? How come after he pulls out, a couple of weeks later, I see he's still booting cars.
Yes.
He's getting the $85 for each booted car.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to say he's going to get $1 per police station there? Well, he's losing all that $85. You're going to reimburse him for his $85 for booty time? You know, what's going on here in this city? Why is it you guys come here, you can't tell us who these supermarkets are that you've been in conversations with? Have you talked to Dash's, Lexington Foods? No.
Audience.
Yeah. Why aren't they? Like, is your name coming up? And then you say there's nowhere else for a police station to be?
No, didn't say that.
What about Main Place Mall? There's a huge amount of parking underneath. They got a big parking lot under Main Place Mall. There's so many places the police can be. And all we are telling you, I think you've heard it, those streets.
You're the person that was passing out all the papers.
I am.
Got it.
Yeah. My name is Mary Lister. I'm a founder and organizer with Queen City Worker Center. I appreciate you allowing me to speak. I know that I was kind of close to the end of the line here. But honestly, I wanted to make sure that the tenants of 201 Ellicott had a chance to speak first. Because they are the ones who are going to be the most impacted by this decision any way it goes. I would like to briefly introduce myself, and then I would like to respond to a couple comments that have been made. So my name is Mary Lister, as I said. I've lived in Buffalo most of my life. I have a family member who was incarcerated as a youth because she was struggling with drug addiction. I have seen her be handcuffed. I have seen her be taken to jail. I understand that there is a large police presence that is required at 201 currently, that you mentioned, Mr. Hanlon, that, you know, that there are many calls made there. I'm here to ask you today to not put a Band-Aid on the problem in this city, because at the end of the day, the problems that are leading to those calls are things like addiction, are things like housing insecurity, are things relationship issues that someone mentioned. There could be, you know, a community center next door, get people therapy, get people groceries. I'm asking you to think about the root of the problem instead of put a Band-Aid on it. And you mentioned that at the end of the day, we do have to think about the bottom line, and I respect that that's true. But frankly, he should pay back the loan. And at the end of the day, as our elected officials, your job is to protect us. Your job is to be leaders for us as citizens of this city. And you are hearing today from the leadership of the tenants of 201 Ellicott, from concerned citizens, and I'm hearing pretty much unanimously in this room that we do not want a police precinct to be in that building. I appreciate you letting me speak. I'm here because I care about Buffalo. I believe that you do too. And I'm asking that you not only provide leadership for us, but take the leadership of the people who are directly impacted by this the most. Thank you very much.
And thank you for your comments. And obviously we're here because we value your opinion. And in regards to a Band-Aid, however, I find it hard pressed to find, you know, an entity that finds solutions as efficiently as we do. And we work very hard. We work with our citizens to find solutions, including linking them with services, existing service partners. And that's everything we do isn't about Band-Aids and making just a quick arrest. It's about actually working with our partners to find solutions. And we've done that several times successfully within that building. But obviously, it's on an individual basis. But we're committed to continuing to help out our citizens in 201 Ellicott.
No. Thank you. I'm so sorry. But you can talk afterwards. I understand.
Yes. We sure can.
You should definitely communicate with one another afterwards. I want to thank you all for taking the time to share your thoughts. your concerns with us. This is why we were here. I needed to hear from you all, not that I don't understand where we already stand on these issues. Part of where we are, just keeping in mind, and it's my job to also be really honest and transparent, is it's either both or we don't have, I don't know just yet if I could do a temporary location. I would have to work on that. I will ask. If it's only one thing, if I can do one, this, I was leveraging the lease agreement for the police to do food. I just want to make sure we're clear on that. That is what I'm leveraging. Their desire to have a police station, leveraging that for food. So let me do my due diligence and go back and see if it's possible. If we don't have one, can we do the other? If not, then the question that you'll have to ask ourselves, like we as a community, because this is us, right? And for the record, I don't live far, so I can bring over too. And it's the only grocery store that's close enough to me, to just put that out there for the record. Without having, are we okay with not knowing what's going to be in that space for the next 6 to 12 months? That's important for us to think through. And so I want us, if it's empty, I know what we need now, but I can't force it. And so if we're leveraging one for the other, the question is, are you okay with it being nothing for 6 to 12 months?
No.
So then if that's the case, so let me ask, let me see what can be done. If not, that is where we may be. And I'll need to work through with some vendors on what we can do in the meantime to kind of figure it out if we can't make something work. I don't want to force anything. This is a collaborative relationship. As I said in my comments, this is not a dictatorship. Nobody gets to just say this is what it's going to be. We really can't. Sometimes in government, you do have to make really hard decisions and just deal with it. This is one where we have an opportunity to talk about it. This is one where I also ask the police, do you have another option? And the answer to that is 100% there is another space that they can go into. There's no question about that. That does not answer the food issue for right next door. It does not. And it will not solve that. And so that this just allowed me to come up with a temporary plan for food. And I just want to be clear about that. Just so we can think it through, feel free to email me at lhaltonpope@buffalony.gov. You can contact my office. I am here. I'm happy to show up for tenant meetings. If we need to have another discussion, I will. What I'm going to ask, especially for those residents who live here, work together. What I never want to hear is the combative conversation because we didn't talk to each other before we got here. And then it seems as if somebody is speaking on behalf of the whole, and clearly there is a disconnect because you didn't. And just because a few more people back up a statement, it didn't include every voice, and I'm not okay with that. Like, this is still representative government. Y'all have to remember that even within your tenant council, to just talk to each other. I'm not gonna tell you who to talk to. I'm just gonna say it was a little bit obvious. And I think we all saw it, so just talk to each other. This is one district, one community. We're still a city of good neighbors, and we know how to treat each other with love and dignity and respect. I thank you all for your time. I've taken down all of your notes. I'll be here for other questions afterwards. I'm not going to move anything. I will come back I have to make some asks first. So give me about a week or two to have some conversations to determine what can happen next. lhaltonpope@buffalony.gov.
Thank you.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.